Pray. Heavenly Father, as you give us this glimpse into heaven through an open door, help us to see you more clearly. Help us to appreciate what you have achieved in your Son more completely, that our lives in the present might be strengthened. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. One of the most popular television series of recent times has been the fantasy drama Game of Thrones. Although criticised by some for its 18-rated scenes, Game of Thrones has captured the imagination of many. The quite complex plot of Game of Thrones centres on the conflict that arises between competing claimants to the Iron Throne of the Seven Kingdoms. And the series continues with later attempts to reclaim the throne by the once ruling family who've been deposed. Well, what we have in the book of Revelation is a vision of a throne, but it is no mere game of thrones. It is very clear who belongs on the throne of heaven. The one who truly reigns in the ultimate kingdom. Well, if you were here last week, you'd have seen that we saw in chapter 4 of Revelation that as a door is opened into heaven in this revelation of and from Jesus Christ, we see the reality of God himself. The Apostle John sees a throne in heaven with one seated on the throne. And in symbolic imagery typical of this style of so-called apocalyptic writing, we're reminded of the great truth that despite appearances at times in our broken world, God is the ruler. Despite all the opposition and difficulty that the first recipients experienced, and which we also see in this contemporary world, God is God in all his brilliant purity. He is the God who is holy, and also the God who is gracious in relating to his creatures. He is the God who is on his throne. Now, as the vision continues into what we read this morning, we find the truth that is at the heart of the whole of the book of Revelation. That God is the ultimate victor over evil. And his victory has been established by one who takes the leading role in this chapter 5. One who has conquered. So if you haven't done already, do turn to chapter 5 of Revelation, which in the Black Church Bibles is on page 1238. 1238, Revelation chapter 5, where we are allowed to see what the Apostle John sees. Verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. God himself, the majestic ruling God, is seen to be holding a rolled up sheet of parchment. God, the all-knowing and all-powerful maker, holds this information-laden scroll, written on the back and on the front, and it contains the story of the future of the world. It is, as Dr. Paul Barnett has called it, the scroll of destiny. And yet, in the heavenly throne room, the message that the scroll contains cannot be made known, for it has seven seals which stop it from being opened. Now it becomes clear that only a suitable person can unseal the scroll and open it. For whoever knows its contents knows the mind of God himself. Only one qualified can open the scroll, because that person will become the one through whom these plans of God will become a reality. So, a mighty messenger angel loudly announces a question, verse 2. Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? and there's no reply. There is silence. Verse 3. And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. No one is suitable. No one is qualified. No one is worthy. Now, this is recognized by John, who's receiving this vision, as a complete tragedy. Without a worthy person, the contents of the scroll will remain a mystery. Without the knowledge contained in the scroll, no one will be able to grasp God's good plans for his universe. Indeed, they may not even be able to come about. And so brokenness will continue. Sin and evil will flourish. So verse 4, John tells us, I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. But that is not the end of the drama. Verse 5. And one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. One of the 24 elders who we met last week in chapter 4, that is one of the leaders of God's rescued people from Old Testament times and New Testament times, tells John to stop crying and being despondent, because there is a suitable person. There is a qualified and worthy individual who can open the scroll of destiny. And John is pointed to one who had been there all the time. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. Now, these phrases are full of Old Testament connections. They are titles for the Messiah, the Christ. They are about God's anointed one, the one descended from the family of great King David, and so part of the Old Testament tribe of Judah. This one, none other, of course, than Jesus himself, verse 5, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. Now, in many ways, Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, is one of the key verses which unlocks the whole of the book of Revelation. Jesus has conquered. What Jesus has done in his death on the cross and his resurrection, beating death, means that the great battle of God is not so much essentially in the future as it was in the past, and it has been fought and it has been won. Jesus has conquered, and so he is worthy to open the scroll of God, which will describe how that victory will work out, even though until Jesus returns, this world will remain broken and evil and sin are still serious realities. Jesus has conquered, so the victory is assured. Now, this was really good news for those who heard this book read out to them in one of the small beleaguered churches of Asia who were the first to receive the book. The Roman Empire was pouring out its anger on dissidents, especially those who belonged to Jesus. And for believers today, it is great news. Those Christians in Syria and others that we prayed for facing severe opposition as Islamists use the cover of civil war as an opportunity to abuse Christian groups. It is great news to Christians here facing opposition in their everyday lives, maybe from colleagues at work or even their family. It is great news to those being opposed for standing for the truth of Jesus, even by other religious or church officials. It is great news for Christians suffering or facing pressure in any way. Here to open the scroll is one who is worthy, one who has conquered like a victorious lion. And yet, when John looked to where the heavenly messenger was pointing, it wasn't a powerful lion that he saw, but almost the polar opposite of animals. Verse 6. And between the throne and the four living creatures, and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, as though it had been slain. So John didn't see a victorious looking lion, the king of the jungle, but rather a young sheep. And a young sheep at that, that looked as if it was about to die, as though it had been slain. And yet, this mortally wounded lamb was in the place of greatest honor. The lamb was between the throne of God the Father himself and the other beings in heaven who would soon fall down and worship before the lamb. Now, this description of a lamb in heaven is not some random image, but it is one rooted in the Old Testament, like so much of the symbolism of the book of Revelation. In Old Testament times, the people were taught by God to offer a sacrificial lamb without blemish to stand in for them as sinful people. The lamb was a substitute for them. The sins of the people were symbolically received by the lamb instead of them, helping them to understand just how serious sin was to God. It deserved death. But also how God in his grace was prepared to forgive when the price was paid. And that Old Testament practice was also in the plan of God, preparation for what he was going to do in and through his Son. So what seems strange here is the truth. Jesus has conquered. He is the victor. And yet he is also the crucified Lamb of God who died to take away the sin of the world. Jesus the Lamb looked as though it had been slain, and yet also, verse 6, it had seven horns and seven eyes. So here was complete. Remember, the number seven looks forward to perfection and completeness. Here in the Lamb is complete divine power and complete divine knowledge. And he is anointed by the Holy Spirit. Again, verse 6, the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Now, from now on in this vision, Jesus as a lion is never mentioned again, only as a lamb with a mortal wound. You see, Jesus the Messiah has conquered, and that is only through his death. Now, many of us are familiar with the imagery of Jesus as a lamb, but when you stop and think about it for a moment, it is extraordinary. If we were to create a symbol of power and authority, then I guess we'd probably, like the nations of the world, choose imposing powerful, strong animals like the Russian bear or the American eagle or our own British lion. But the truly conquering and authoritative one, Jesus, is a lamb. He is one who conquers through death. And so God subverts the power and wisdom of this world by showing that the cross of Jesus is where true power lies. And this is underlined by the content of the new song that the four living creatures we saw in chapter 4 representing the created world and those 24 elders representing the rescued people of God sing. Verse 9. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. Jesus is worthy because he died. But this is not just because he was completely self-giving and faithful to God, though of course he was, but because Jesus is the only one in the history of the universe worthy to open the scroll of destiny and fulfill God's plans. And that is because of who he is as God's son, who lived a perfect life, and also because of his death, achieved that which is vital and wonderful. Verse 9. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God. You see, Jesus has won for sinful people who receive the benefits he offers a new freedom from their sins. Jesus has paid a ransom price that brings them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, from death to life, from alienation from God to friendship with God. Worthy are you, verse 9, to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Do you see the new status and dignity of those rescued by the blood of Jesus the Lamb? We are now a new community belonging to the King. And we are all his priests. Those ransomed by Jesus can now enter the presence of God. And we can pray. Verse 8 has mentioned where the heavenly crowd are holding golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. That is God's rescued people. And did you see where these rescued, ransomed believers come from? Verse 9. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language, every people and nation. In heaven, there will be people from Greenland to Gabon, from Chile to China, from the people group in Asia that Nicholas Haydock, our former parish assistant, is planning to help translate the Bible with, to people from here in East Yorkshire. Now, what is the only appropriate response to this Lamb who rescues through his death, but is now risen? Well, already we've seen in verse 8 that when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb in praise and worship. Something only suitable for God himself, illustrating that this Lamb who was slain and who has ransomed people for God is himself divine. God, the eternal Son, who has become the Son of God on earth and gave himself as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. And then the praise of Jesus the Lamb is joined by an unimaginable number. Verse 11. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Now we see again what some of us saw last week, the pattern that Christian praise and worship is a response to the truth of God. So when the greatness of God has been outlined, when who Jesus is and what he has done as the Lamb who was slain to ransom people for God is proclaimed, John tells us, verse 13, "I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. Well, the TV series Game of Thrones has proved very popular. Indeed, it's become Sky TV's most popular series ever, with an average audience of more than 5 million across all its platforms. And yet, Game of Thrones is merely invented fantasy. The reality we've been able to glimpse this morning from Revelation 5 shows that God is on the true throne. It is no mere Game of Thrones. And his son, the Lamb, shares his rule. Jesus the Lamb is uniquely worthy to open the scroll of destiny and fulfill God's plans because he has conquered. He's won. And he has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And that means that we can look forward with confidence to a day when this world is no longer broken, a day when all will be centered on the unique worthiness of Jesus. And as we wait, there is really only one worthy response to his greatness and the greatness of his achievement through his death. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to glimpse what is real in heaven, and therefore what is ultimately real as we consider our world. We thank you that you are on your throne. We thank you that Jesus is at your right hand. And we praise you for the fact that he was slain for us, and that by his blood he has ransomed us, rescued us, brought us to yourself. Heavenly Father, please would you build these truths into our hearts and minds, that our lives can be interpreted in the light of the reality of who you are and who Jesus is and what he has done. And we pray that you would give us grace, that we might make him known to others, and that we might sing his praises in and through our lives. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.